الحمد والنعمة وتعالى الملك لا شريك لك
لبيك يا ربي يا غافر الذنب يا قابل التوب لبيك من قلبي
لبيك يا ربي يا غافر الذنب يا قابل التوب لبيك من قلبي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Hajj is a very important, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And it's very important to be prepared, both from a spirituality perspective, but also from a more tactical and material perspective. This way, you're not worried about what your slippers feel like or what you're wearing in ihram, and you're able to concentrate on the spiritual aspects of Hajj, which is the whole purpose of your journey. Today, we're going to be discussing what to bring, what not to bring, and a few tips about Hajj before you go on your journey. My name is Shaheen Pardhan. My father, Inayat Daya, has been for Hajj for over 25 years. And I remember when I went for my first Hajj in 2001, I was single, I was going on my own with my dad, and he told me, "Don't worry, Hajj is like a picnic. It's going to be easy, it's going to be great, you're going to have a good time." Well, I learned that Hajj is not like a picnic. For someone like myself, who was born in Canada, who had never traveled to the Middle East or Africa, who didn't know what a toilet in the hole looked like, it was quite a journey for me for the first time. Alhamdulillah, I was able to go back again with my husband in 2005. Now, the second time I did Hajj, I had already known what to expect. I knew what the Kaaba looked like. I knew what the rush was going to be like. But I also knew what to pack and what to bring and how to act. And I think that helped a lot. So for those of you who don't get a chance to go back after your first Hajj, it's important for your first Hajj to be very prepared. Again, like we mentioned, from a spirituality perspective, which many of the speakers will discuss, but also to know kind of what to bring, how to act, what not to bring, and that's what I'm hopefully going to discuss with you today. So one of the first things, one of the first tips that I'm going to be talking about is little things to do before you leave. So one thing you want to do is prepare your will. And make sure it's up to date, including all the children that you may have. And make sure someone knows where it is. So when if something should happen to you, there is someone who'll be able to access it easily. Also, it's important to repay all of your debts. And for debts that you may have had that you may not be sure the exact amount or the person may not be alive anymore to repay them, you can also use a fund called Radham Adalib. A lot of the Islamic centers will accept that money as that fund, and it just goes into a general fund for people who aren't sure if they maybe stole a pen from work and have to repay. Another thing you can do is ask for peace, to make peace with everyone. People will come to visit you on your journey before you go. They may call you or send you an email. Ask for their forgiveness if there's anything you may have done or said to offend them or hurt their feelings or if you've ever spoken ill about them. It's a good way to try and clear your book before you go off on your journey. You may even want to take a trip to Qabristan and ask all those marhum and marhumim that have passed away before us for their forgiveness if there's something you may have done during their lifetime. Another thing you can do is go for long walks. You'll be surprised how much walking there is in Hajj, and it's not always in the best condition. You're hot, you're carrying your backpack or a lot of weight, a big water bottle, you're wearing your slippers, and it's not the most comfortable situation. So practicing from now will get you in shape to be able to go for those long walks and not to be the last one in line holding the group up. It's also a good idea to wash all your clothes, especially your ihram and your ihram underclothes, in unscented detergent. And you can get things like Tide Free or even some of the imitation brands that offer a no-scent version for sensitive skin. So once you wash your ihram in those clothes, put them in a plastic bag so that those unscented clothes don't touch the other items. Maybe you don't want them to touch your shampoo or other items in your suitcase. You should also learn the proper way of performing salah, ghusl, and wudu. A lot of times we learn in madrasa when we're little kids, but things tend to adapt over time, or we may not have learned the correct way in the first place. So this is a good time to practice ahead of time, perform it in front of someone who's knowledgeable, and make sure you're doing it correctly when you're in Hajj. It's also important to learn how to squat, and you may not like this, but you may have to use an Eastern toilet. So if your legs aren't prepared to do that, start practicing from now. Just practice every day a little bit, a few minutes at a time, to try and develop that ability when you're actually in the airport or in Arafat and Mina. You should also practice saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik and the whole sentence that goes along with your journey towards Hajj. This will get you in the frame of mind both from a spirituality perspective, but also help you to pronounce the words correctly and make you feel like you want to go for Hajj and yearn for Hajj. You should also photocopy your dua books. There's been times in the past where the Saudi government hasn't allowed certain dua books, especially the Shia books, into the country. So it's a good idea to photocopy them, put them in different places in your suitcases, under pockets, and you don't want your book to be thrown in the garbage in front of you, of course. So this is a good way, even if you were to lose it, it's not that important because it is something that was a photocopy. It's important to make a list of people to pray for. Everyone will come to you and say, oh, you're going for Hajj, pray for me. And they may even specifically say, pray for me to get married, pray for me to have children, pray for me to go to Hajj as well. So it's important to write down their name, what they've asked you to pray for, and then just a general prayer for the people that you can remember in communities or in other countries or whatever it may be. Then you've got your prayer list on hand when you're doing your Namaz Ishab, or when you see the Kaaba for the first time, you can remember to pray for these people, and they really appreciate your du'as. You also should get immunized, and it's important to have your regular immunizations up to speed, like your tetanus shots, but it's also good to take some other immunizations. The mandatory immunization for Hajj is meningitis, and that's 0.5 milliliters of ACYW-135. So you'll need a traveler's immunization book, which you can get from your doctor. And they'll just sign an area and stamp it. So it's very important to have your doctor or the clinic that you go write all the details, sign it, and stamp it with their doctor's signature and location. This you need to take with you to Hajj. You'll not only need to send a photocopy for your visa, but you'll also need it in the airport. And it's very important that you don't forget this and you keep this readily accessible. I also took some other immunizations, things like cholera, traveler's diarrhea. I took my hepatitis A and B well in advance, so I was fully immunized by the time we went for Hajj. I took typhoid, and I also made sure all my other immunizations were up to speed. You don't need these things, but it's always a nice to have, especially if you're a cautious traveler like myself. In terms of the weather, there's a wide variety of weather experiences that you'll have. In Syria, especially if you go in the winter, it's quite cold. And of course, those of you who are used to the Canadian winters will think, ah, it's not that cold. But it's kind of in your bones cold. A lot of people will wear sweaters, maybe a thin woolen jacket. You may even need a hat, especially for the men once they shave their head, a woolen hat, and some little woolen mittens. You'll need maybe some woolen socks, and you'll need to dress in layers. One thing, especially for the ladies that I found, is it's very warm inside the haram of Bibi Zainab or Bibi Ruqayya. And if you're wearing a sweatshirt or a coat and stuff, it's nice to be able to take those items off and then have your chadar underneath so it's easy for you to still be able to pray Jamaat Namaz. It's a good idea to pack your clothes in your suitcase, but to bring your sweatshirt or your coat with you on the plane. This way, it's not taking up so much room in your suitcase, and you'll need it, especially if you're traveling in December or November in those months, the colder months. A lot of the things that you buy, especially for ladies and men, can be purchased in the country that you're in. Syria is a great place to get chadors, abayas, scarves, and they're much more cheaper than you can find in places like Canada, North America, even in Europe. In Saudi Arabia, the temperature is much warmer. You'll notice right away in Medina and in Mecca that in the afternoon it gets quite warm. Usually most people sleep in the afternoon, they'll go for salah and come back, or they'll pray salah in their room. But in the evening and the morning, it's quite comfortable. So you may even find it a bit chilly in Medina in the morning. In Muzdalifa, a lot of people found last year that it was quite cold. So you may need an extra ihram, maybe wear two ihrams. You'll need your sleeping bag, things to keep you a little warmer. For women, it's a lot more easier with their ihram. They can wear multiple layers. They can wear tights inside or a sweater. It's nice if it's white, but it also helps to keep you warm during those cold times in Muzdalifa if you end up staying the night there. Now, as for the things you should actually pack, it's a good idea to have a suitcase, one with wheels on it, and one that's not so heavy that you can carry it. It's a good idea to be able to test it out, make sure it's going to be able to hold all your different pockets and things, and put some sort of marking on it, whether it's a tie on the string around the handle, or get a colored suitcase that not many people would have, like a purple suitcase, for example. This way you're able to see which suitcase is yours. You'll also probably need a smaller suitcase, a backpack, something with wheels that you can use in Arafat Mina. Here's an example of a suitcase, of a backpack that you can use in Arafat Mina. Once you fill it with your extra ihram, a couple toiletry items, and a small towel, that's all you really need to take. There's a few other items like a flashlight, but we'll go into those details in more detail. Now we're going to move into footwear. It's one of the most important things you'll remember to take with you, because you'll be walking a lot, as I mentioned before. So you'll probably need a pair of flip-flops, something like this. Something that's cheap, you know, $1, $5, under $5, that are good quality that you can wear in the shower. Sometimes the shower and toilet are one. Something you can wear in between rooms. Something that you don't really plan to wear for long walks, but that you'll be wearing in and around different areas that you're going in. Now, men will have to wear this when they're in their ihram, some sort of thong slipper. And I'm sure there's different rulings about, you know, which ayatollah says what about their footwear. So just check with your local alim. Another very important item is shoes with straps. And this is especially important when you're in Mina and you go to hit the shaitan, because you want to come back with the same shoes that you went in with. So straps help because you're able to keep them on and off, especially if you have Velcro or clips. Now, these were my comfortable shoes. I wore these throughout most of my trip. And because you're able to wear socks with them, I was still able to keep my hijab in terms of the socks that I needed to wear and wear them inside my shoes. It's also a good idea when you're finding shoes to find ones that are easy to put on and off. Because when you go for the outside ziyarets, you're going to multiple different sites. You have to keep taking your shoes off and then putting them on. You don't want to be the one who's tying their laces and holding everybody up. It's a nice idea to have quick and easy slippers or shoes. It's also a good idea to get ones that are not made out of leather or nubuck. You don't want to risk the fact that the leather might not be from a halal source. And if you're doing wudu and then putting your shoes on, that can lead to some concerns. The next thing you'll need is a shoe bag or a slipper bag. This is my slipper bag. It was very convenient because, A, it was a bright color, so people could always find me when I was wearing it. But it was also cool because it was a zipper pocket. I could put my shoes inside a plastic bag inside the zipper pocket, but then it also had other little pockets. So I could put my dua books away from my shoes, and I even had a little pocket in here for things like, you know, your tasbih or your mor, things that you wanted to keep inside. Make sure your slippers fit in your shoe bag and that it has a comfortable strap that you can wear around you when you're doing tawaf and carry it on you. Now we'll move to the different ihram outfits for women. What I found works best for women is a long white top, similar to this one. Now you can have it so it's about knee length or a little longer than knee length, and then wear pants or a skirt inside, or you can have it all the way to the floor. It's a nice idea to have something that has elastic in it or little buttons so that it's not riding down your sleeve when you lift your hand up. You may need to get the little sleeves, something like this, to wear inside of your ihram or inside of your chador or abaya, just so that when your sleeves go up, you're still covered. I like the fact that this was knee length or a little below knee length, because then when you went to the bathroom, it was a lot easier to roll up and it didn't get najis. To wear inside of your long top, you have two options. One is a long skirt, which again makes it very easy when you go to the bathroom to roll up. And the other is a pair of pajamas. You can find these easily in Hajj when you're in Mecca or Medina. They're just men's pajamas. Sometimes they even have little pockets so you can put change or some small bills in there. Most women wore a large chador or a chadar over their whole ihram. So this provided some extra covering, and it was very easy when you're praying salah. Usually the ones with the elastic were what was used. You may also want to bring some small cotton tank tops, just so that you prevent things from being see-through as an extra layer of protection, and if it's cold at night. With your ihram, it's important for you to make sure that you're comfortable in it. Try praying in it, make sure it's washed in unscented detergent, and it's a good idea to separate. If you bring two ihram sets, put one in your husband's suitcase or your friend's suitcase, and then keep one in your own suitcase. This way you're not concerned about if your suitcase gets lost, what do you do during the times of ihram? The first time you wear your ihram is the first time you see the Holy Kaaba. So it's a very exciting and important experience for you. You don't want to be worried about, oh, are my sleeves showing? Or, you know, is this comfortable for me? Does it have a scent on it? Am I wearing this correctly? So be prepared. A lot of times people worry a lot about their ihram, but they don't think about the non-ihram days. Once you wear your ihram for the first time, you'll be taking it off and then not wearing again until you go to Arafat. So think about the other days when you're not in ihram, when you can wear colored clothes. A lot of women wore a black abaya or chador during their time in Hajj. This was especially convenient in Syria, where the temperature is much cooler. Things to look for in a chador. It's nice that it doesn't have any buttons on it. This one, for example, just has a small zipper. You can put it over your head. This way you don't have to worry so much about what's worn inside. It doesn't have to be black necessarily because no one can see it. It's also nice that you make sure the sleeves are the correct length. You may have to wear some sleeves, separate sleeves inside, if the sleeve tips up and falls down your arm. Or you can get the ones with buttons or sew it even smaller to put elastic in it. It's also good to have an important, the right length. You don't want it dragging on the floor and getting najis, but you also don't want it to be too short. It's nice also if your chador or abaya doesn't have a lot of detail or buttons or little jewels sewn into it. This way you don't have to worry so much if you throw it in the washing machine. It's going to come out looking like it did when you put it in. It's not going to get destroyed. For those of you who don't like to wear black chadors or other items or want some variety, you can wear house dresses, something like this, kaftans, salwar kameez, things like that. They don't have to be black or they don't have to be white. It can be any color, as long as it follows the same principles. Many women just wore a colored scarf inside, but I tend to prefer the white scarf, just for the heat aspect. And I had this made where it was a one-piece sewn, and it covered all parts, and it was very easy because you didn't need a pin inside. You can get all sorts of different one-piece hijabs, especially in Syria. For men, you have it a bit easier, not during the haram time, but just in general. A lot of times in Syria, the men just wore regular pants and a top, sweater maybe, some warmer pants, but they could also wear jeans or khakis, whatever it may be. During the actual time in Saudi Arabia, men found it a little more convenient to wear they're called chador, they're like the equivalent of a female chador. They're called kanzus, I believe. So here's an example. It's usually just a thin top, and pajamas are usually worn inside, the white ones. This is good for the heat, and it also helps you fit in, but you still can't get a good deal when you're bargaining because they know you're a foreigner. In terms of linens, it's nice to bring a towel that's very thin, something that will dry quickly, especially when you're moving from city to city right after taking a shower. Now, I found it a good tip to actually sew a piece of elastic into your towel. This way, you can hang it up on the hook. You don't have to worry about it falling and getting najis in the bathroom. It's also nice to have a unique towel, not something that everybody else will have, so it's easy to find your own towel. A good tip to have for all your clothes is to write your name on them. You can get a waterproof marker. Sharpie makes one. Just put your name, your first name and last name, your initials, or some sort of code name so that you can make sure that your white pajamas are actually your white pajamas and not somebody else's when you wash them in the laundry facility. In terms of toiletries, there are a few showers, just a few, where you will have to use unscented detergent or unscented soaps. Throughout the rest of your showers, you'll be able to use your normal shampoo and your normal soap. Just for before you're wearing your ihram, you need to use an unscented soap. Oil of Olay makes one, but I found a knockoff brand from Our Compliments from the Price Chopper store. I'm sure you can get this in many of the other knockoff stores as well. But it's basically a moisturizing body wash that has no scent. Sometimes you'll find it for sensitive skin. Just make sure it doesn't have a scent. Now, this is what I used on my hair and on my body with a powder puffball, just to make it a little easier to go on. There isn't really an unscented shampoo out there that doesn't contain alcohol, so this is what I used for both purposes. Again, you don't need this much. You only need very little. So it's a good idea to transfer your body wash or shampoos, whatever it may be, into small little bottles like this. And you can usually get these at the dollar store at Zellers. I also found it useful to carry a little plastic bag. This was used when I would go to the bathroom. I'd put my toilet paper, my washroom water bottle, and the other things I might need. Or when I would take a shower, I had my little shampoo bottles, my little soaps. And this way I can just hang it on the back of the door or on the shower hook and use the items inside without worrying about them falling. And it also was wet, so I would just throw it into a plastic bag and everything would stay intact. When you're traveling to Arafat, Mina, and Muzdalifa, there's a few things that you might need. In particular, you might need an extra pair of glasses, especially when you go to hit the Shaitan. It's a nice idea to take older glasses or maybe safety glasses to protect the glasses you may have. You'll also need a stone bag. This is usually provided by your group leader, but in some cases it may not be. It's nice to just get a solid bag that you can put 70 small stones in. And it's something that you can tie up and store and keep in your suitcase. When you are traveling to Arafat, we mentioned that you could take a backpack with you. So the basic items that you're going to need are an extra ihram set, and this is just in case something gets najis, unscented soap or unscented face wash, a flashlight, and that's to pick up the stones in Muzdalifa, your stone bag, which is what we described earlier, any mandatory medication that you need for the next couple of days. Snacks are always a good idea, and your sleeping bag. In terms of your du'as and surahs, a lot of people brought MP3 players or little items, maybe a tape recorder that you can listen to under your hijab or while you're doing tawaf or in the haram. It's a nice idea, especially if you have lectures on there about Hajj or about the spiritual aspects of your journey. You'll also need, or a good idea to have, is some niyat cards. These are something that someone donated and had made. Basically, it describes all the different niyats that you need during Hajj. He'll talk about the niyat for tying your ihram, the niyat for wukuf. And it's in English, so you can understand what you're saying when you're actually saying it. It's nice to keep them in your little money pouch or with you at all times, so before you start an act, you remember what your niyat is and you have those available. You'll also need a money pouch. This was my money pouch. It costs about $10 from Zellers. And it's a good idea to kind of keep this close, wear it inside your clothes, and actually safety pin the money bag itself to your top. This way, if someone decides to cut the string or if it gets loose, the money bag is still attached to your clothing. And it's a nice idea to keep this as thin as possible so people can't tell that you're wearing a money bag. It's nice when women wear it as well because they have their hijab to go over. You can't see the string anymore. It's not a good idea to carry a large amount of money anywhere you go. So carry small bills, split your money between you and your spouse, and try and come up with a way that, you know, it's not about carrying money, especially when you go for tawaf or to the ziyarats. The last thing that I had is a small tip, and this is 7 beads on a string. Basically, it's a string that you carry when you're doing tawaf or when you're doing sa'i, when you walk between Safa and Marwa. And as you go around each round, you pull one of the beads. You hold it with you so you remember which round you're on. It's a good way to remember, especially in the shoving and in the activity, so that you can make sure you keep track of your rounds. I have covered a lot of information today, but there's even more details if you visit one of our websites. On that website, you'll find a full detail list. I think it's 17 pages. Tips on what to do before you go for Hajj, more details about what to pack, and at the very back, there's a one-page checklist. Just goes through all the different things that you may need to bring, that are nice to have, and that are mandatory items that you should bring. It's a good way for you to get into the mode of Hajj, start preparing from now, especially during the times when you can get good sales on things like your footwear and your thin items that you may need. In closing, I want you to think of an experience. If any of you are familiar with the Olympics, they're going to be held in China this year, in Beijing, in 2008. And if you were planning to go to Beijing, think of what you'd be expecting. A friend of ours just came back to China, and he told us about all the different renovations that they're doing in that country. So if you think about it, if you want a spot right near the stadium, it's going to be very busy. There's going to be a lot of traffic, a lot of people with different cultures from around the world that speak different languages, have different etiquette styles. It's going to be expensive, especially if you want something very close, and you're probably not going to have a lot of room in that area. So you're going to pay a lot for a small area. So if you think about that experience, going in ahead of time, cultural differences, cost differences, not expecting everything to run as smoothly as you may expect here, think of it that way when you're going for Hajj. You're going at a time when millions of people are gathering from all over the world to one area. It's important that we have our expectations, not that everything is going to run smoothly and perfectly. There's going to be meals provided at every point. They're going to be delicious. And exactly what I need to be done, get done is going to be done and explained to me. If we go in thinking that, you know, there may be challenges, it is a different culture, it is a different environment, and we go ahead expecting those differences and the challenges that we may face, if things go well, great, alhamdulillah. If we do face difficulties along the way, then at least we've prepared ourselves for them ahead of time. So go in, enjoy your journey, but also prepare for the worst and expect and pray for the best, inshallah.